taken a vow not to drink, but guess what he doing? He throwing a party where they got alcohol. So you see that when he got involved with the Philistines, their culture began to rub off on him. And they slowly eroded his vows that he had made to God and the covenant that he had with God. Samson was still being used by God, even though his consecration to God was slowly being eroded away. He could still shake himself and the power would come on him. And you see, that's where some people, that's where they miss it, because they think just because God's still using them, they in sin, they know they're in sin, but they say, God's still using me, I must be all right. That don't mean a thing. God will use you because he wants to bless his people. The power flowing through your life is not an endorsement upon your lifestyle. If you're not living right, you got to get it straight. Samson loved worldly women, lived a reckless life, and eventually fell in love with another Philistine woman named Delilah, whose name means feeble. He fell in love with a woman whose name meant feeble, weak. So what did she do? She made him weak. Samson was deceived by Delilah, who pressured, vexed, and grieved him to the point he told the secret of his strength. And she betrayed him for money. She took him down. Samson ended up being captured. This is what the world is going to do to you. Captured, chained, blinded, mocked, humiliated, and he died prematurely. God vindicated him at the end because he humbled himself. And he killed more in his death than he did while he was living. So God still manifested that gift that was in him in the end because Samson humbled himself before God. And God honored his prayer, his request to let him die with the Philistines. See, he died in the world. It is dangerous to rationalize. You don't want to do that. You want to put God first in everything you do. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm going to tell you, I'm challenging you today to check up on your prayer life and to check up on your relationship with the world. Have you gone astray? Have you stopped praying? I'm going to tell you, get back in line. Get back in divine order with God. God wants you to separate yourself from all that worldly influence. You ain't supposed to be shaped by the world. You're not supposed to have the same mindset. You're not supposed to think like people in the world think. Your thinking should be totally different. You're not supposed to hold the same values that people in the world hold. Because people in the world will call godliness evil. And evil good. You ain't supposed to have that kind of mindset. You have to make sure that you are rooted solidly in this word right here. If you don't get in this book and stay in it and learn what God's will is for your life, you're going to be deceived and you're not going to have God's best. Amen. Praise God. So I'm challenging you today. Amen.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for the opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in this study, God. Allow the Holy Ghost to take us through a tour of your word, revealing those principles that you would desire us to practice for profit, giving you the praise. So we thank you in advance for what you shall share this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord today. Our thought today is going to deal with us living in expectation. Living in expectation. One of the things that I think it is important for the believer to always understand is what God wants for you. Wanting His best is knowing His best. And when you know His best and you desire His best, I'm sorry that this color doesn't show well on the screen, but I'm going to be, if you listen, you'll hear everything that's on this screen if you can't view it. But one of the things that is so important about the area of faith is God expects, according to this word, for you to hear His word, receive His word, believe His word, and live by His word. In other words, the expectation of God is that you will say, God, you said it. That settles it. I'm not trying to figure out if it's right or wrong, if it's good or bad. If you said it, that settles it. Listen, it, according to His own word, it's settled anyway, whether you believe it or not. And so those who believe it are the receivers of what is already settled. And so once you settle it underneath your skin and you've got non-negotiable, non-discussable, non-debatable, concrete convictions underneath your own skin, then it is God's responsibility to manifest it then in your life. Here's what many folk miss in the arena of expectations. You don't have to make it happen. You just have to believe God can. And one of the reasons why many of us cannot live on the level of faith or expectation that God wants us to is because with our finite mind, with our limited mind, we try to figure out, how can this thing be? You remember when the angel told Mary, you're going to bear a child? Mary took a moment and she went in the natural realm and tried to figure out, how can this thing be when I know not a man? I've not done what it takes to make a baby. How is a baby on the inside of me? And see, one of the problems with too many of us intellectuals is when it doesn't make sense to our intellectuality. You know, many of you sit in the realm of the intelligentsia. And while there, you've gone from syllogistically deducing from cause to effect and it don't make no sense. Then you say, well, you know what? This thing can't happen. But what you miss is the God who stood out on nothing and called something into being is the same God who spoke that, and what He's done once, how many of you know He can do again? So if God tells you something, God shows you something, God shares something with you, it is your responsibility to simply believe Him and say, yes, Lord, and begin living according to that expectation. And so when we miss that, we miss the benefit of God. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Listen, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Several words I want to pull out of this. First of all, hope. I mean, that is where, do you realize faith is the part that God gives to us to believe him. Hope is that part that comes out of us that attaches. So you need the faith that comes from him and the hope that is a part of you to connect with what he said to make that a unit. And then it says, and quietly. Somebody say quietly. You know what quietly means? It means just hush your mouth and stop trying to talk about it. Stop trying to, you know, find out what others think about it. Quietly wait. Quietly wait. Stop asking, God, it ain't here today. Is it going to come tomorrow? Well, wait till tomorrow. Come and see. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. So he's going to be right there with you till it shows up. So, I mean, fellowship with him, thank him, praise him, glorify him. Wait quietly means don't let yourself become unsettled about this issue anymore. Quietly means, you know what, I'm going to rest in the Lord. God said it. I'm going to sleep on this because I believe it's going to happen. And it says for the salvation in this Old Testament, rendering, it is in a dual connotation, which means deliverance both from trouble, situations, circumstances, and it means deliverance of the soul. So literally, whether your problem is spiritual or natural, it is still the salvation of the Lord that's going to bring it to pass. In other words, God's going to do it, whether it's a spiritual problem or a financial problem or a physical problem or any other problem, in either realm, you are waiting for God. He's the salvation. He is the deliverer that will bring that deliverance to you. So that's one of the things that I want us to recognize. Ask yourself, what are your expectations? What are your expectations? Regardless of what realm they are in, the question is, what are your expectations? Because here's what you need to realize. Every expectation that I really expect God to bring to pass, to open up, to manifest in my life, or to have its foundation in his word. Because God is not under warrant to back up what I expect if what I expect doesn't come from his word. Next thing I want to ask you is, when you sow, are you sowing in expectation, receiving a harvest, of receiving a harvest? Or do you just sow and just forget that you got a harvest coming back out of the seeds you've just sown? See, the word in Galatians tells us whatsoever. So if you forget, that's a bad thing on both ends. Because what we miss is when we sow the seed, we've got a harvest coming back. Well, good seed produces good harvest. Bad seed produces bad harvest. You forget either one of them, they both coming back as a harvest. Now you wondering why this is happening to you? Do you realize it's a harvest of the seeds you've sown? Yes, sir. Why is this happening to me? Why is this always? And again, whatever the seeds are, it produces a harvest. Do you spend your time expecting the best or the worst? Because again, expectation is a part of the faith realm. So whether or not your faith is a positive faith or a negative faith, you're going to get the production or the manifestation of that faith. Amen. It comes from a Greek word called antimetrophibetai. And it literally means that whether it's positive or negative, it's going to grow and manifest itself in like form. So it's out of this same seed, out of the same truth, out of the same reality that you will get either positive things or negative things coming back at you depending on what you sow and what your expectation is. If you believe God won't do it, guess what? If you don't believe it's going to happen, if you don't believe he's going to open doors, if you don't believe he's going to do supernatural things that you could never have imagined in your own mind or even asked him, if you don't believe this or you don't believe that, then the reality is by faith, God meets you where your faith level is. Well, I've never won anything before. I don't think I'm going to win nothing. Well, why even register? If that's what you believe, okay, well, what is your expectation? Well, you know what? I've never won anything before, but I believe right now things are going to turn around for me.
I'm going to fill out my name just because it don't hurt nothing for me to take a little ink and write it down. I have a better chance of writing my name down and being one in 20 million than a chance in none because I didn't write my name down. I mean, it's, where's your expectation? God said something. God made a promise. God did this. Do you believe God? Are you trusting him to do it? Do you believe the answer will come and be manifested? So you might say, well, I got an answer from the Lord. That's only one step of it. After the answer, do you believe it's going to be manifested? Do you believe it's going to come to pass? Do you believe you're going to have what he says? And if you do not, then the truth of the matter is you are not operating in expectation. Let's define expectation. The act or the state of expecting to wait in expectation. The act or state of looking forward or anticipating. An expectant mental attitude, a high pitch of expectation. Often, expectations, a prospect of future good or profit, to have great expectations. Synonyms for expectation, anticipation, belief, confidence, hope, promise, trust, view. All of this stuff comes out of expectation. You see, one of the things that God wants his people to, let's look at some of these synonyms again, is to be filled with anticipation. I remember, y'all remember that old ketchup commercial. Thank you, Dad. Anticipation. They waiting for that ketchup to come out. It's so thick and rich, and they're just trying to wait for it. But you know why they kept holding that bottle and shaking it? Because they know it was on its way out. It might have taken a while, but it was coming. And their mouth was salivating, they waiting for it. But they know it's coming. God wants you to expect something from him like that and anticipate. Listen, I don't care what the world says. I know what my Father has said. And he is faithful. And yeah, I'm waiting for it, but it's coming. I'm expecting it to come. You, again, believe. You have got to believe God. It doesn't matter what other folk believe. What do you believe? And when you believe God, God is under warrant by his own word to back up what he said because you have added your participatory part, and that is where you believe God. Look again, confidence, confidence. Man, there will not be anybody else on this planet you believe more than God, not even yourself. And when you've got God's word, your confidence ought to be through the roof because God said it. Yeah. God has a perfect record, perfect history. God cannot lie. Listen, his spirit has already been authorized to bring to pass what he has said. So God can't lie because when he said it, the spirit grabbed it. Woo. And made it, listen, what in the spirit realm already happened. Now all he's waiting is for your connection with what God has said, called faith. And when you believe it and operate in that, the Holy Ghost has to make it manifest in your life. That's his job. That's his job. And you have that confidence. Hope, again, that comes from out of you connecting with what God has said. Promise. God's promises are sure. God's promises are faithful. Trust him. Well, Proverbs 3:5-6 says what? Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And then listen at this. When you do that, you got to do that first, get that right first. Then it says when you do that, don't lean. You know how some of y'all drive, y'all. You just lean, gangster lean, they call it. The problem is, in other words, don't go back to the flesh when you step into the spirit realm. Don't lean back to the flesh that says, listen, now you know there is a 75% chance that this thing ain't gonna happen. I know you believe God, but just be real now. Let's keep it real. God give you 5 senses. Don't you love it when folk try to rationalize? You know, now wait a minute, now hold up. God give you 5 senses. Now, does that make sense? There's a lot of stuff God does that don't make sense to the natural. Yes. What are you believing in, the natural or the supernatural? You believe in the supernatural, it's God's job to manifest it in the natural. So I ain't got to believe it from the natural standpoint. I've got to believe it from the supernatural standpoint. And when I do that, that's because I'm trusting in God. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. And in all my ways, here's what you say. I'm acknowledging you, God. How do you acknowledge God? You said in your word. God, you made a promise to me. How are you acknowledging God? God, I'm stepping out by faith on what you told me. God, you told me if I believe you, then I should walk in what I believe. See, you're acknowledging God. And when you put God first, every step is a safe step. Peter stepped out on the water because Jesus said, come. Not because the other disciples said, man, you crazy for stepping out of this boat. It might be a lot of water in this boat, but there's more outside of this boat. He didn't even listen to those who were around him. He got out the water, out of the boat, and stepped on the water because Jesus said, come. Now listen to this. Even when he started sinking, he didn't call back for the brothers in the boat. He said, Lord, he acknowledged him. Save me. And the record is Jesus. See, what you've got to realize, you acknowledge him in all your ways. God, you told me to do such and such a thing. Let's say give. And I didn't have but $20. You told me to give the $20. Now I ain't got nothing to eat. And my gas needle is on empty. Now I've acknowledged you. I've done what you said to do. I need you to make a way. Brother Robbins, touched by the Spirit of the Lord, said, man, come on, let me treat you to lunch. You say, well, look at Jesus. Man, all right. Now listen, he might be paying for the lunch. You see somebody else, God might put it on their heart while you're there. Say, man, I was going to treat you to lunch today, but since brother, son, he said, no, he's treating. Well, here, man, here's $20. Go on and put that in. That was, because I felt led to do that, but since you already eat it, that's how God can work stuff out. How he works it out ain't your concern. The fact that you've acknowledged him, the Bible says, and he'll direct all your path. P-A-T-H-S, paths, plural. That means all your blessings might not come out of one basket. Might not come out of one bucket. Might not come out of one place. So you got to recognize that. It's God's way of doing it. Let me just say this to you right quick. God is the God of expectation. He is the God of expectation. Just want to share a few things with you. Because when we look at the Word of God and we understand how these things operate, let's look at Hebrews 10:23, and it says, you just write that down. You can go back and go over this when you have time at home. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that he is faithful that promised. If he is faithful that promised, then you can expect faithfully the promise to come to pass. Because he is faithful that promise. Listen, in other words, a promise is only good as the one who promised it. As good as the person who made the promise. So if you know the person who's made the promise is good and faithful, what is the saying? You can take it to the bank. Ah, y'all know that, and that ain't even in the Bible. But if God says it, who's made everything that is, that shall be, including you, and you doubt that he is faithful? My goodness. Listen, God has given you his word as a covenant that you can expect to receive what he has promised. Again, Hebrews 10 verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Listen, that after ye have done the will of God. The question is, have you done your part? See, we want God to do all of the parts, his part, our part, and any other part that comes. God is only going to do the impossible. The possible he leaves to you. After ye have done the will of God, your part. Somebody say, after I've done my part. God is not going to bring the fruition of the promise together until you do your part. If I don't get anything else over to the believer in this study, especially as it relates to that, know this. You can't blame God for not making a promise that he's made to you come true until you do your part. You cannot, and you need to stop waiting on the promise to come to pass when you ain't done your part yet. God is held up by your part. And then if you've done your part, look again at what it says, for ye have need of patience. You have need of patience. And it says, again, that comes in after you have done the will of God. It says, ye might receive the promise. So that means when you do your part, then be patient. After you've done your part, wait on God then. Because what you've got to realize is, I mean, it's just like baking a cake. Once you've done all the things that you need to do and putting all the ingredients together, whipping and beating them and whatever, and put it in the pan, you still got to put it in the oven and wait. And they got some cakes of fall if you are impatient and keep opening up the dough and looking. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know they ain't got many bakers in this day and time, but the old school know what I'm talking about. See, there are just some things after you've done your part, you just gonna have to wait. But why would you have a problem waiting if you know the one who said it is faithful? Now, you might want to set your clock, your timer, and occupy your time with a little praise while you're waiting. Look again, living in expectation, God's way requires active participation. You must confess the word, believe the word, and walk in the word. That's again what Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says. Micah 7 and 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now, you got to recognize again, and it is important for you to realize that living in expectation is a level of constant existence. God doesn't want you to have an episode of expectation, an experience of expectation. Listen again. He wants you to have a lifestyle. Well, here's what the word says. The just shall live, not exist, not get by, but live by faith. So if I'm living by faith, then that means that I expect a miracle. Every day is the minimum. When I start living by faith, I'm expecting multiple miracles every day. Here's what you need to realize. When you sow a seed once a year, how many times can you expect a harvest? But when you sow 365 days, if you sow 50 times a year, if you sow 25, those are the times you have the right to expect a harvest. And so that's why many of us don't live in expectation, because we don't do enough sowing. Whatever the sowing is, all the sowing isn't about money. And so whatever I sow, whatsoever a man soweth, if I sow love, I have a right to expect love. If I sow hate, I got a right to expect hate. If I sow good deeds, I have a right to expect good deeds. I mean, it blows my mind. Every now and then, I just put God to the test and so forth. If I notice, you know, I mean, and I'm in restaurants and I do, and I see somebody, and God, I may not even know them. And God says, bless them. I call the waiter and say, listen, I want you to go and bless them. Now, I notice when it stopped happening to me, it's because I stopped being a blessing to folks. Are y'all hearing me? Because I've gone many times and I'm like, women check it and say, oh, it's already been taken care of. I'm like, people going there just like I do it. I ain't got to, you know, because when you ain't after nobody, you ain't got to look, send a check over there, put my name on and let them know. You ain't got to do all that craziness. If you expecting God to bring the blessing back to you, I mean, here's what our problem is. We always think to get blessed, you got to bless the poor. That's sowing down.
One of the reasons why, listen, when you sow down, you get your needs met. But when you sow up, you get abundantly blessed. You got to stop trying to be a blessing to people that just, oh, Lord, you said.